Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, the store was empty, the doors were locked, and she was finishing up for the night until something came in and started moving through the aisles like it knew where it was going.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
It sure is Real Ghost Stories Online, and thank you very much for listening. If you have a real ghost story, we would love it if you would call it in. It's 855-853-4802. You can write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com. You could be a premium subscriber. You get no commercials, advance episodes, and access to the archive. And you could sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Husen. Harper is here today.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you, Carol?
I'm good. I'm good, good, good. It's a beautiful day here.
It sure is. It feels like summer. And I know it's like technically spring right now, but it feels like summer. And I am enjoying it. I am enjoying it a whole lot.
I know. It feels like spring, which I love spring.
It's just, I mean, it's like 70 here. So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of springy, but it's also kind of summery.
Yeah, it's just lovely. I love this time of year when everything's starting to bloom again. And in fact, when I was at your house, you guys have, you're planting all these raised beds and stuff. That'll be fun. Do you have to help with all that?
I usually just kind of leave that to my dad and my soon-to-be stepmom, but I do have a little windowsill garden.
Oh, that's cool.
Chamomile and lavender. I call them the Tea Time Twins. And yes, I named them. Chamomile, call her Cammy. And lavender, good. Named her Lady.
So do you have them right inside the window?
I do. They're in the other room right now. But yes, they're on my bedroom windowsill.
So let's talk about this story today. You know, I was trying to think if I have worked in a retail location that was haunted. I did work in a retail location that had a super creepy boss, but it wasn't haunted, but my boss was creepy. I ended up quitting because of him.
You know what? Maybe that is kind of haunting. You're being haunted by your creepy boss.
I was for sure being haunted by my creepy boss. He would not leave me alone.
Yeah.
But this to me is just creepy when you're alone and you're just closing up for the night and then something weird happens. So here's the story. It says, this was around 2010. I was working at a retail store. It was a normal place in a strip mall. I had been there for a while, long enough to know how everything worked and what the store sounded like during different shifts. For a stretch of time, I ended up taking a lot of closing shifts because no one else really wanted them. And at first, I didn't mind. Closing was actually pretty quiet. Once the doors were locked, it was just cleaning up, counting drawers, getting things ready for the next day. The store only had one main entrance at the front, and when someone came in, you always knew. There was a chime that went off when the door opened, and even if you didn't hear that, you'd still hear the door itself. It wasn't something that could just happen without you noticing. Nothing weird happened right away. It wasn't like the first night I closed, something felt off. It was more like after doing it over and over, I started noticing little things that didn't quite line up with what I was used to. The first time something stood out, it didn't seem like a big deal. I had already locked the front doors and was in the back doing some cleanup when I heard what sounded like the front door opening. I did not hear the chime, just the sound of the door. It caught my attention, but I figured maybe I missed the chime or someone had pulled on the door from the outside. So when I walked out to check, everything was still locked and there was no one there. I made sure the door was secure, went back to doing what I was doing. After that, every once in a while, I noticed things that felt off, but nothing I could point to, just small sounds that didn't seem to match what was actually happening. Then one night I heard what sounded like someone walking around in the store. When you work somewhere long enough, you get used to how it sounds. You can tell the difference between normal building noise and someone actually moving through the aisles. This sounded like someone walking at a normal pace, like a customer browsing. I was up at the register when I heard it coming from one of the middle aisles. My first thought was that I must have missed someone still in the store after closing. It's not supposed to happen, but it's possible. I called out, just saying we were closed, expecting someone to answer back, but nothing. The footsteps stopped for a second, then picked up again a little farther back, like whoever it was had moved deeper into the store instead of coming toward me. I went over to that aisle and checked. How brave.
Right? I would not be able to do that.
But because even if it was, you think it's someone in the store after it's closed, like you've shouted to them, hey, it's time to leave. That's when they would have said, oh, I'm sorry. Be right there. You would acknowledge that. You're in there, you know, it's like time to go. I went over to the aisle and checked. No one was there. I checked the next aisle, the one after that. I kept thinking maybe I had just missed them turning a corner. At that point, I became irritated. I thought someone was messing with me or hiding, so I walked the entire store and no one was there. After that, I started paying more attention when I was closing. Every now and then, I'd hear something small, something shifting or sounding like it got bumped, but nothing I could actually find. Then one night, it went even further than that. It was a weekend. I was there by myself. I'd already locked up, finished most of what I needed to do. I was in the back room when I heard the front door open. This time, I heard everything clearly. The door, the way it echoed, then footsteps coming in. Not fast or rushed, normal walking like someone had just come in. I remember thinking right away there was no way someone should have been able to get in. I stepped out of the back room, looked toward the front, and the door was still closed, but the footsteps were still going. They came in from the front, moved across the floor, and into the first aisle. I stood there for a second trying to figure out what I was hearing. Then I called out again. No answer. The steps kept moving from the front aisle into the middle of the store, then toward the back, then toward me. At that point, I wasn't thinking someone had been left in the store anymore because someone had actually been walking that path. They would have been right in front of me, but no one was there. The footsteps stopped just before opening to the back room, close enough that if someone had been standing there, I would have definitely seen them. I didn't move. I just stood there waiting to hear something else, but nothing. I walked out onto the floor, checked again, every aisle, every corner, still nothing. This person is so brave. I went straight to the front and checked again, checked the door again, still locked. I finished up as fast as I could that night and I left. After that, I started asking around a little, just casually, seeing if anyone had noticed anything. A couple of people who had worked closing shifts said they had heard things too, not exactly the same, but close enough. Doors, movement, the feeling like someone was in the store when they shouldn't be. One person told me they stopped working closing shifts because of it. I stayed a little while longer, but I stopped taking those shifts as much as I could. I didn't hang around after I finished what I needed to do and definitely didn't stay any later than I had to. Eventually, I ended up leaving that job. It wasn't just because of that, but it definitely didn't help. I haven't been back there in years, so I don't know if anything is still happening or if anyone else has experienced it. All I know is that for a while, it really did sound like someone was in that store with me after closing. Just never where I could actually see them. Anyway, figured I'd share. Thanks for listening, Emily. She is so brave.
Yeah, Emily is way braver than me.
Brave. It surprises me, and that was 2010, and maybe this is a small town, but, you know, closing by yourself is intimidating. And most places don't let you close alone.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, depending on the, you know, if it was a little town, probably didn't think too much about it.
I mean, even then, still, it's a little scary just on its own, take the paranormal out of it.
Exactly, because the first thing you would think of is someone just broke in the store.
Yeah.
Like, I get that whole thought process, though. Like, I lock the doors. Oh, someone must still be in here. And
yeah.
That makes some sense. Like, they didn't hear that we're closing for the night. Because I think anytime you close, you'd have to walk the aisles just to make sure everyone's out.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense why you would think that.
But then you hear the door open.
Yeah. And it's happening repeatedly.
Yeah.
something's walking. I'd love to know, like she said, strip mall, but it could be like an older building or something. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
That's just creepy. And the fact that it got validated, other people had heard it too.
In fact, other people have had gone through it too, to the point where they just stopped doing closing shifts.
Yeah, ain't nobody wanting to close in that store.
Ugh,
and probably because they couldn't afford it, they didn't want any, you know, to have more people there than they had to. But it's like, you really should have two people closing.
Yeah.
That's kind of ridiculous. But that Emily was brave.
Yeah, definitely.
Hats off. Way braver than me. I had to quit a long time before she did.
Way braver than me.
Let's go to this story.
Hi, guys. It's Kathy again. Just calling to tell you a positive Ouija board story. So a friend of mine, a neighbor, was doing renovations on her house and started having things like the stereo going off at 5 in the morning, at top volume, TVs turning on and off by themselves, footsteps at night, doors opening and closing, just, you know, crazy stuff. So our other friend and I brought the Ouija board over, and we started asking questions, you know, who's here, you know, you're scaring the children, that kind of thing. You know, through questions, we found out that there was someone there named Peg. And we started asking her, are you upset because of the renovations? And she said, yes. And we said, do you not like the color of the house? Because they repainted the house. And she said, no. And we said, what color do you think it should be? And she said, gray. And she spelled it the old-fashioned way, G-R-E-Y, like a British way. And then we started asking her who she was. And we found out that she had been a maid in that house when it was first built. And she was, there was a minister who lived there, and she was the minister's maid. As it turned out, she got pregnant from him, and he forced her to have an abortion. And so we started saying, well, you know, are you here because of the children? And she said, yes. And we said, are you here to, you know, watch over them or, you know, participate to have children? And she said, yes. And we said, you know, you're scaring the children. It's not a happy experience for them. And she said, sorry. And we said, look, you know, you have to stop. You can stay and you can be part of the family, but you have to stop turning the stereo on and manipulating, you know, the electronics in the house because it's really upsetting to everybody. She said, okay. And after that night, nothing else ever happened again. So we tried to validate, you know, who lived in that house, but unfortunately our town hall had been flooded in one of the hurricanes, and they lost a lot of the records. So we couldn't really verify if this was true, but nothing else happened after that, and so we have no reason to believe it wasn't real. And Peg got to tell her story, and we still say hi to Peg from time to time. And we felt really badly for her. We were actually all crying by the end of the session. So that's my story. I hope you use it. And thanks. Bye.
That is interesting because you don't normally hear stories like that about a Ouija board.
Yeah, but that was a fairly positive story.
Yeah. Now, I don't know that I have the patience to get all of that information, because that's a lot sitting at a Ouija board, like finding out about the guy and he got her pregnant and she had an abortion. Like, that has to be a lot of spelling out of things. And so I don't know if I have that kind of patience, but it sounds like it was a super emotional thing. But I think the most interesting part of all is that after they went through all that and they told her, like, you're scaring the people in this household, it stopped.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it just kind of came to an end, which is nice. It's nice to know that, like, the ghost just kind of respected that. It's like, all right, I'll stay here, but I won't scare you anymore.
So if you were having an activity in your house and somebody's like, you know, Harper, maybe we should get a Ouija board out and figure this out, could you do it?
Absolutely not. Never in a million years.
Yeah, either.
It's like, look, it worked out good here. That doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
You know, like, this is not paranormal, but my neighbor told me something that now I can't get out of my head. So I have a 6-foot privacy fence in my backyard. It has locked gates. I feel very safe. She was telling me this morning that before I moved in that somebody had climbed the fence and broke into the back door, went through all of the girl who lived here. She was a single girl, lived by herself. They went through the drawers and everything. She never even woke up and got up in the morning and everything had been gone through and the back door was open.
Oh, burn that man at the stake. Disgusting. I'm like, hate that.
So to me, it almost like, okay, maybe that's not paranormal, but then maybe it is. Like, because how do you sleep through someone breaking into your house and going through all your drawers? And oh my God, that happened in this house?
And you know what? More often than not, it's not even the paranormal that's the bad part. It's just the people.
Yes.
People are always going to be worse than the paranormal.
But I've lived here for 5 years and nothing like that has happened. Actually, almost 6. And nothing like that has happened. But you know damn well tonight when I go to bed, that's all I'm going to think about.
Yeah. I think that's probably all I'm going to think about every time I stay over at your house now.
Right? I was like, oh my God. Why did you tell me that? But the whole purpose of her telling me that was that her husband had talked her into going to get a gun after that. And so she had a gun and I think maybe she was saying I should have one. I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
So, but I don't.
I think that's a good idea.
But anyways, so let's go to one more story.
Hey, guys, it's Christina. I just wanted to tell you guys a quick story. I was over at my friend Brooke's house. I would stay the night over there, stay the night growing up. I woke up in the middle of the night one night to something choking me. Couldn't breathe or anything. I tried feeling around to see if I could maybe make a noise to wake her mom or sister or Brooke up. I finally found a candle. I threw it at the wall. No one woke up. Finally, this thing, I mean, what seemed to be a demonic creature, I could not see anything. It released itself, and I was screaming, and everyone came in there. Well, apparently my mom told me, I lived right across the street from Brooke. My mom told me back in the 70s, the mother-in-law lived in the house, and the daughter-in-law moved in with her four-year-old daughter and her little baby girl, and she was pregnant. She moved in and everything, whatever, years passed. The mother-in-law ended up killing herself after she killed everyone else. She, you know, shot both little girls in the head. And so, you know, after she told me that and I told my mom what happened, it really freaked me out. You know, the days after that, you would just hear footsteps, you would hear moaning, you would hear screaming, you would hear crying. It really freaked me out. And, you know, I never told Brooke's mom until, you know, one day she came up to me, Brooke, and said, you know, I had this really vivid nightmare. And she explained everything that my mom told me about what happened in the house with the mother-in-law killing her daughter-in-law and her grandkids. And, I mean, she said it to a T the way my mom explained how it happened. You know, I never told her about it. My mom never told her about it. No, she didn't know the story. It was like, I don't know. She saw it in a dream, though. It was just freaky, and it freaked me out. But I have a lot more paranormal stories. I'll call in the future, and I love what you guys do. And y'all take care.
So it is weird. Like, if the mom knew that, it seems like she could have known that, too. She was living in that house.
Yeah, you'd think.
But I don't know everything that's happened in my house, but I like to think if something like that happened, I would have known.
Yeah.
But then something's choking her in the middle of the night. Is that happening to other people in the house? Has it happened to other people? Because I think it would be weird. Like, there could be super dark energy in that house. I could.
Yeah,
if that sounds super dark. Right? If that happened, I could see that that would be a super dark energy. But wouldn't that probably happen to other people? I have questions.
I have a lot of questions as well.
Like, did it happen to other people or just to you? And because I think that's interesting. Could it have been somebody who lived in the house who was choking her?
And did y'all like talk about this, like when this was happening, or did you only find out later on?
And did her mom tell her that horrific story and she never said anything about it to the neighbors? Like, well, y'all know you're living in this horrible place where this horrific thing happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have questions.
Me too.
But I hate that something attacked her like that.
Oh, yeah. And I would love to hear more. Because I imagine if that's a story, there has to be more. I don't think it just stops at being choked in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, there's more. There's more. So I would like to hear a little bit more about that one. So if you have a ghost story and you would like to share it with us, we would really like to hear it. So call it in. You can leave us a voicemail at 855-853-4802. Write it down at realghoststoriesonline.com and become a premium subscriber if you would like to. Get advanced episodes, access to the archive without commercials. Sign up with Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, we thank you very much for listening.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.